Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Melissa and I got some entertainment news for you a little bit later. We're going to talk about the best states to work from home from and got some good stories of the day. We'll talk about some local events in our area, all of that coming up. But right now, we kick off the 9 o'clock hour in one of the most fun ways we can with the Regional Math 24 competition. That's what we're going to be focusing on here. We've got Kelly, Jacob, and Trevor with us. I'm going to let them introduce themselves so the audience can put a voice to the name, and I will start down the line here. If you can introduce yourself, Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly Luhl. I work for the School District of Wisconsin Rapids as their GT coordinator.
And you are, yeah, and Kelly, we'll get into that a little bit more in just a moment, but thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And guys, I'll let you introduce yourselves. Just start right there.
I'm Jacob Bars, and I go to Grant Elementary, and I'm in fourth grade.
Nice. Good job, Jake.
Hi, I'm Trevor. I'm in fifth grade, and I go to Port Edwards Elementary.
Well done, Trevor. Nice job, guys. Thank you very much, and thank you both for being here. We appreciate it. So we want to dive right into the competition, and before we do, for those that don't know what this is, Kelly, would you mind letting the audience know what this competition is and what it does?
Sure. This game is called Math 24, or 24 Game, where students are calculating an answer of 24 using different numbers on a card. Our competition has expanded to be a regional competition now, so we involve our area schools and invite them to Wisconsin Rapids for a friendly math competition.
Very cool. And thank you. Very nicely done, by the way. Yeah, that was great. So we are not just talking with a couple of contestants here, though. We've got winners with us. And I want to congratulate both of you right away. Nice job. Good work on this. Let's go ahead and get into the how this game is played, if you don't mind. And I'll let you both kind of touch on this one as you will. So what can you tell us on how the game is played?
So a card in front of me is 8, 2, 8, and 4, and you would have to add, subtract, multiply, or divide to make 24. So in this case, it would be 8 divided by 2 equals 4, 4 times 4 equals 16, 16 plus 8 equals 24.
Very cool. All right. Oh, I see how it, okay, so
and
I see.
And there's 1, 2s, and 3 dots. And the 3 dots are the hardest, the 2 dots are the middle, and then the 1 dots are the easiest.
Yes, and the 4th graders do 1-digit cards with like numbers like 2, 4, and 6, and 5th graders do numbers like 12, 16, and sometimes they'll throw in a single-digit number too.
Wow. That seems like it would take some practice to get used to this and everything. How often did you guys practice this?
I practiced in my mom made me practice an hour every day, so thanks to her for making me
right on.
Do that.
Great job,
I
Mom.
I practiced a bit at home and at school.
Very cool. Very cool. Guys, did you, what made you want to do this? Why did you want to jump into this and everything?
My mom thinks I'm good at math, though. She kind of made me do it, and I just kind of wanted to see what it was, and I was not expecting to win.
Aww.
I just wanted to try it for, like, the challenge.
Very cool. Those are all good reasons. Those are really good. Yeah, so you kind of talked about those things. Now, I wanted to get into tips and tricks, but before we do, I got to ask maybe one of the more important questions I'm going to ask you guys today. Did you have fun? Did you enjoy yourselves with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
Well, resounding yes, but that is noteworthy. Getting kids to resoundingly say yes to almost anything—that is fantastic.
Because math is fun.
Yeah. And Melissa just touched on something there that I think is really important with this topic. You know, math being fun. You know, for you guys, as you get older and older, you realize that math is a part of everyday life, and you're going to have to use it. Might as well enjoy it a little bit. That's a really fun part of this. Kelly, for you, was that, I imagine that there was a lot of positives to this, a lot of fun parts of this and
Absolutely.
Everything, through the process, the practices and that. What was it like for the competition to see them excel the way that they did in that?
It is incredibly heartwarming and humbling just to see how hard the kids work, whether it was in our district or the ones that came to visit, that they really put in their time and really put in the effort. It is one of those games that the more you practice, the better you will be. There is no shortcuts for this game, and they clearly put in the practice and work extremely hard all school year for this. So it's just wonderful to see from a teacher's standpoint.
What a great life lesson there, too. You know, that shortcuts are great in life, but more times than not, you there really aren't any. You have to put in the work. And sure. It's so rewarding when you do. And they're seeing that and learning that at a young age. It has so many added layers to it. Certainly learning good math skills, that's going to help them no matter what they do in life. But that kind of confidence, that kind of, you know, building, it goes so much farther than that, no matter what they do in their lives.
Exactly.
And while we got two winners here with us and everything, I want to shout out to all the kids that competed in this and all the kids that were a part of this and all the families and teachers like yourself that helped make this happen. It's an investment in our future. It's a really cool idea. Kind of wish I could have done this when I was a kid. My dad is a great mathematician. I was told that you guys might have some tips and tricks about this. Can we get into that a little bit? You could help me out a little. I am not very good at math, you guys, so I could really use the tips and tricks.
So you try to make combinations like 6 and 4 and 2 and 12 to make 24.
Ah.
So if there's like two numbers, say there's 6 and 3, but then there's a 2 and 2, so 2 divided by 2 equals 1. So that's what I do if there's two numbers. And then you just 3 plus 1 equals 4, and 6 times 4 equals 24.
So you guys are so much smarter than me. You guys are so much smarter.
So fast.
This is way smarter than me. I have no problem admitting that. And that's great. That's awesome. That's very encouraging. I'm very happy to say that. I'm very proud of both of you, because not only did Jacob win for the fourth grade winners out of Grant Elementary School, but Trevor was the fifth grade winner for Port Edwards Elementary School. What did it? Awesome. How good did it feel to represent your schools, guys?
It felt good.
Felt great.
Good. Very cool. Very cool. I wanted to talk about the tournament and how the tournament works a little bit, just to give a little more understanding.
How many people participated?
Yeah. Yeah. How many people were a part of this?
Countless people were helpful throughout the process of all of it. But on game day, we had 5 schools in attendance joining us. We had students from Pittsville, Emmanuel Lutheran, St. Vincent de Paul, Port Edwards, and Wisconsin Rapids. So 5 schools were represented in our regional competition. Each school sent a top 5 for 4th grade and top 5 players for 5th grade to come and attend and play through our competition. The students went through 3 different rounds of competition, and then we ended the show with our championship round with the top 5 players out of all 5 schools.
Whew.
Nice.
Man, is that cool. There's nothing to take lightly about this, you guys. That's quite an accomplishment. And again, a big shout out to everybody that participated in this. There are no losers in something like this. Everybody wins. I imagine, because Kelly, just meeting you, talking to you a little bit and everything, I can see that you have a passion for this, that you have a care for this and everything. I can't imagine, it feels good to Melissa and I and our audience to hear these kids and hear their excitement about it. Mm-hmm. Can't even begin to imagine what it might mean to you in this tournament itself, along with what it's brought.
Absolutely. I'm a math teacher at heart. That's what I've done for 22 years. And just seeing children learn and grow with their skills in math, couldn't make me more proud of the job that all of our educators do, the job that our students do in working so hard. It's extremely rewarding seeing them so engaged and happy and having fun with it. Like you said, some of the skills that they've developed over the last few years as well, sportsmanship is a huge one, and these kids are phenomenal. They congratulate each other. They lift each other up when they're having a bad day of practice and just work really hard to get where they want to be with that ultimate goal, and it's very rewarding to see.
I was going to wrap up with asking you, what would you say to parents out there and to kids as far as encouraging them to be a part of this program and to do this themselves? I feel like you did it. I feel like you nailed it right there. There's so much incentive and so much positive to do something like this. And I love the more and more. Is this, I apologize, is this an after-school program? Is this part of the curriculum?
Not a part of the curriculum. It's working on their math skills. So, I mean, it's interwoven because it's their math skills and concepts that they're practicing, a lot of their computation skills that they're doing that are present in fourth and fifth grade, but it's not something they have to do. So these students are completely choosing to play this game themselves at school. It gets introduced. I've had students give up their lunch hours and recesses to stay and practice with their teammates. Some students practice at home, like you've heard our two champions say here. They really just go above and beyond to say, this is something I want to do, and they put in the time and effort and find a way to practice.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate you guys coming in and everything. We don't want to wrap up without shout-outs. We got to get shout-outs in and everything. Do you have anybody you guys want to shout-out?
Shout-out to my mom for helping me practice.
Right on.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of shout-outs. So, first, I'm going to shout-out to my group of four, Emmalyn, Zoe, Jackson, and myself. And I want to shout out to all the people who practiced with me, Isabella, Mason, my group of four also, Riley S., Wyatt, and of course my mom for making me practice an hour a day. I probably wouldn't have won without her.
Good save. Wow. Nicely done. Oh, nicely done. You guys are good. You guys are really good at this. Don't take my job, please. I need this job. Please don't take my job. But you guys were great. You were awesome. That was a lot of fun, you guys. You got to come back. We got to have you back. We got to have you back sometime. And again, congratulations on the win, on being a part of this. Real nice job, you guys. Really nice job. And Kelly, thank you so much for everything you do, your team does, and not just with these kids, but with all of our kids and through many years. And appreciate you. You have to come back. We got to bring them back, the next kids, the next batch, or whatever you want to say, next year. I want to do this again and keep up on this because this is a really fun program we want to support.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
I appreciate the time, you guys. You have a great day, okay?
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more show, everybody, coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. Want to send a big shout out to Kelly, Jacob, and Trevor for joining us to tell us about the Regional Math 24 competition.
Yeah, that was great.
Man, that was great. Oh, that was great. We have to get our Facebook Live or YouTube Live or whatever we're going to end up doing going because the audience needs to see these kids and needs to see their reactions. I got the best seat in the house. That's great. That was awesome. Great job, everybody. And a big shout out to Kelly and their parents and their families for helping that out.
And so fun to hear young people excited about math and school and learning. It's great.
I didn't get too into it or anything, but I'm not sure if I've seen that a lot in my life. Kids excited about math. That is a really cool program. You can learn a lot more about that. I encourage you to throw it into your searcher and check out more about the Math 24 Challenge, everybody. Melissa and I got to dive into some entertainment news, both world and local. And here is an interesting question. And, you know, keeping in mind, everybody, we here at WFHR, we cover local radio. We do local. We make radio. We know that local radio matters, and it's important to us. And more on that in a moment, because a call is coming in. Yeah. We take your calls first. That's how much local means to us. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah, is this the back fence where you sell stuff?
No, sir. That show's not on.
Is that show on at all anymore or not?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Appreciate the call, though. If you've been listening to us, you would know. So we appreciate you listening out there and appreciate you spreading the word about our shows and helping us do this. If you care about local news, local sports, local weather, local information, things like we just did right there with those kids and talking about the 24 program, that's why local matters. And it's why, you know, we are the home of certain things. If you are wondering what's going on in Central Wisconsin, this is the place to go, WFHR. Our newsletter is important, and you go to and sign up for that at WFHR.com. And if you want to know about Dolly Parton news, this is the place to go. Nobody covering Dolly news like we do. And a petition to read... I don't know why I got so aggressive about that. A petition to read... I don't know who's competing with us about that, but
but James feels strongly.
Apparently. A petition to rename the Nashville airport after Dolly Parton is picking up steam.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It makes a lot of sense since Dolly is, of course, the queen of Nashville. I think that, you know, that is noteworthy. That's certainly important. It was put up on change.org in January, but it's really started to pick up some media attention lately.
Yeah, because who wouldn't want to report on that?
So instead of the Nashville International Airport, it would be called the Dolly Parton International Airport. You'd be departing from Parton.
That's awesome.
And it would be open all hours of the day, not just 9 to 5.
Oh, how funny.
So far, the petition has gotten over 47,000 signatures and 47,001, because I signed it.
Oh, nice.
Now, interesting with this one, and sometimes with renaming of things, you know, you get a little pushback no matter who you're naming it after. Not this one. I haven't seen any pushback on this one.
What was the name originally?
Nashville International Airport. So it's not really anything. You
Nashville
know.
International. Come on. Dolly Parton International just sounds so much better.
Sometimes some of the pushback can be, well, people need to know where they're flying to or flying out of, and naming it Nashville helps that. But if it's called Dolly Parton International Airport, don't you pretty much have an idea
you
of where
you know you're going to Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, you really feel like that kind of is on the head there. And I feel like that's pretty common knowledge. Even and if it isn't,
I mean,
you learn.
Not all airports have the name like O'Hare.
Right, exactly.
That's not Chicago.
No. In fact, I wonder how many people even know that that's in Chicago. Internationally, that is.
Right, when you're stopping there to catch another plane or yeah.
And I you know. So if you could have your, you know, something named after you, a street, a building, or an airport or something like that, I feel like an airport is one of the sneaky ones that's really, like, quite an honor and kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, because it's going to see a lot more traffic than someplace like, I don't know. I can't say a bridge. Bridge would probably see more traffic.
Literally.
Well, I was going to say something else, but I didn't want to disparage the traffic to these places. If I had to pick a place to be named after me, it would be a theater.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, like a stage theater, for sure.
Yes, yes. Having a stage named after you, I can't think of a bigger honor.
So cool.
I would take that over a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. 100% I would take that. Yeah. The international part, you know, a bridge or something like that, it's nothing against those things, but that's more of a local thing. International, you got people all over the world. That's pretty cool.
I also don't feel like I deserve to have anything named after me. So having said a theater, now I feel a little, I don't know.
I don't know that I deserve to have a son named after me. I'm with you, Melissa. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, I don't know. You at least had a son. I don't even have that. So
you can go to change.org and find this renamed Nashville International Airport to Dolly Parton. And wow, actually, just clicking on it just now, 49,000 votes, signatures.
It's getting some traction.
I'm trying to see how many it needs. I don't know that they
have a limit. It's probably just as many as they can get in a certain amount of time frame.
Yeah. I encourage you to go sign up, everybody. We'll be following this story, see how it develops. I love stories like this next one that are we would never know about unless somebody just shares them, and it only comes up after a good interviewer asks a follow-up question or something like that. And Chris Hemsworth recently made a fan for life, and her name is Halle Berry. Halle and Chris were hyping their new thriller, Crime 101, when Halle revealed that Chris stood up for her on the set. She didn't say exactly what happened, but she was very impressed. And Halle Berry pretty much has always been this way, but especially older Halle Berry, really not putting on airs.
She doesn't need to.
No. You know, it's an Oscar winner. I believe that her career is set, her legacy is set, and now is working, you know, projects where she finds fun to do things she enjoys. She just showed up in a John Wick movie. I didn't even know she was in it and stuff. She's been doing that a lot, where she's just taking roles she really enjoys. She said, quote, "He's a stand-up guy. I won't go into it now, but he stood up for me in a moment in our movie, and instantly I knew right away when I'm going to follow this guy, be a fan for his for the rest of my life, because he stood up for women." Quote, "He didn't have to do it, but he did." And, you know, we need more of that in life and society. And if Thor can do it, who can't? That is a cool story. Let's take a quick call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Just to follow up on the Dolly Parton incident. What happened first is that one of the representatives from Nashville was trying to push the renaming of the airport to a current president. And that seemed to stir up a lot more of the Nashville people, primarily because of the Dolly Parton connection.
Huh. Yeah. Well, and nothing against any current or former president, but if it's a choice between a president and Dolly Parton, I mean, enough said. I don't know. That's not a hard choice to make for Nashvillians, I imagine.
That's what I thought they said.
appreciate the call, sir. Nice follow-up.
Awesome.
Nice reporting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice reporting.
Thanks
there.
Thanks for calling
appreciate
in. That's
you.
Great.
Yeah, that's interesting. I had not seen that part of it.
I had not either.
Let's go ahead and get to some local theater and currently going on right now in behind the scenes auditioning, or I'm sorry, rehearsing their tails off is the cast and crew of Noises Off, being directed by our own Melissa Kay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I am so proud of this cast and crew. Our set is absolutely fantastic. It is so close to, like, we're at the decorating stage already, and we're like, what, 3 weeks before opening?
Yeah.
3 weeks before opening, and we're already, like, our set is pretty much complete. And we had our first night off book last night.
Ooh.
They did fantastic.
Yeah.
I was just blown away, honestly. And I've been pushing them hard too. This is it's a little bit early to be asking them to be off book, but this show has so much activity. It's very prop heavy. It's a lot of movement. Their blocking is super important, and their timing is just, it has to be spot on for this. So I've been pushing them hard, and they have stepped up to the challenge and far exceeded my expectations. I'm so thrilled, and I can't wait for audiences to be able to enjoy what I get to see every night on that stage. It's fantastic.
For those that haven't done things like this before, part of the reason we're talking about it is to encourage you to give it a shot. But also just some of the fun of this is understanding a little bit of the workings and how hard these locals are working to give you a great
volunteers.
Show. Yeah,
they're volunteering their time and their efforts, and they're putting in the hard work.
Yeah. And that timing is so vital to make it look natural and real on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pull up any scene in any TV show, movie, or anything like that and watch how the actors are working. And if they're doing their job, which most of them are, you're not going to really notice that they're picking up a prop or they're doing something like that. But that's where
it looks effortless.
Yes. And that's where so much of this is the work is being put in right now to give you that show and wrap up the 50th season of WRCT in the right way. And boy, are they going to. This is a classic show. Everybody.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the amazing part to me, too, is that, you know, when you're watching something on Broadway or on television or in a movie, those are paid actors. You know, that's their life, their work. These are volunteers who are putting in just as much, if not more work than some of those actors, and bringing delight and entertainment to our little town of Wisconsin Rapids. It's so exciting.
So true. So true. Want to remind everybody, too, that we always could use volunteers, more hands on deck. WRCT is looking for volunteers for both on stage and backstage, welcoming new people as always. Encourage you to try out for their shows next season, or maybe even bring the kids down for Hopo Productions, or maybe you're a little older and you want to look at Silver Foxes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's an age limit or, you know, requirement for Silver Foxes if you're just looking to get involved, but you don't want to be, you know, like, you don't want to work as hard as these actors are working for Noises Off, because Silver Foxes, they don't require that you memorize the scripts. So it's a little easier easing into acting, which kind of helps you get your feet wet and get comfortable being on stage with other people. Regardless, however you choose to participate, you're going to have fun. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them at wrctheater.org for Noises Off. And I believe that they'll have the information up for the next Silver Foxes performance as well. So check it out. It's a great website.
Yeah, we'll be talking more Silver Foxes and with the crew over there closer to June when their next production is. But you can get tickets right now, and you can even go ahead and volunteer and get your name in there with that.
Yeah.
All at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org. Get on over there, everybody. Bookmark that page. Buy local, support the arts. We will take a time out. We'll come back after our news, sports, and partner break. And Melissa and I are talking about the best states to work from home from. It's coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, the best listeners in radio.
Oh, yeah.
A website ranked all 50 states and Washington, D.C. from the best places to work from home to the worst. The rankings are based on factors like the percentage of people working from home, internet and utility costs, and housing costs. Melissa, before we go any further, do you think that that's an accurate way to do this or as close of a way to do this? I mean, I don't know, the perfect way. I don't even know if there is a perfect way, but...
Well, it's weird that they include the number of people working from home as one of the measures.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that means that they think it is, but I would think you'd also want to include, like, commute times.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
As a reason why people are choosing to work from home, especially in some of these more, you know, like populated metropolitan areas.
Well, in the full article at wallethub.com, you can find they get into that a little bit, which is why I don't know why they didn't include it in
included
as a part of the
metrics.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But according to these metrics, the 10 best places for remote work are Delaware, Utah, Maryland, Washington, D.C., New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Washington State, and New Hampshire.
Weird.
The 10 worst are Alaska, Montana, Wyoming, Arkansas, West Virginia, South Dakota, Mississippi, Iowa, Oklahoma, and Maine.
It's funny that Maine is in there. So... I can see, you know, a lot of those being out on the East Coast with commute times definitely being a reason why it's easier to work from home. And maybe some of those other ones where it's not best to work from home, probably internet connection.
Yep.
A lot of those are rural states that don't have the infrastructure.
They are, to your point before about the travel time. You could see why in Alaska or Montana or Wyoming, people would be working from home for travel time, you know, how long it might take them to get to their job site or something like that. But then when you throw in there the internet access part of things, it almost, I don't say it counters it, but it really takes, you know.
Well, if you have slow speeds or you don't have access or, you know, any of the other hurdles that you can run into with internet connection in a rural area, driving an hour to work might be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the frustration.
Yeah. So looking at locally, Minnesota ranked 24th, Illinois 25th, Michigan 26th, Wisconsin 33rd.
Wow.
So a little lower on the list.
Yeah.
And
the bottom half.
There is no specific stats on why or anything any of these states ranked where they did necessarily other than the parameters that they gave us. But living here in state, I think that, you know, broadband, I think that that's part of it. I think that the internet has got to be part of that.
Well, we know that in our rural areas, we just simply don't have good reliable, solid internet connections. There are places where you simply can't get it.
I think that this is all the more reason why bringing attention to this is important, and why going forward we've got to put more focus on this and in this part of the infrastructure that we're, you know, we have been working pretty hard at over the last 4 or 5 years, infrastructure and building that back up, whether it's our buildings, our bridges, our roads, or the internet access we have.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of that only worked because of programs that were they could apply for grants, or there were federal funds coming in to help up, you know, support those efforts.
You know, we're in a time right now where people are looking towards business people to be able to help us solve certain problems or figure certain things out. I grew up around a lot of business, know quite a bit of business, and still do a lot of research on business in general. And by that, there's a lot of, you know, factors. That's a big umbrella right there. I admit that. But one of the things that's very important in business is knowing your audience and learning your audience. And I would think that business people would understand that you have to spend money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody has ever gotten successful by not spending anything or by not going a little bit above what they normally might spend or something like that. This is evident in sports every day, every year. There's some guy who signs a big free agency deal with a team that he wouldn't have signed there, but they offered him a couple mil more and he signed there. This is business 101. Sometimes you have to spend to earn.
Well, if you don't have the infrastructure to make your business function or work correctly, it's not going to.
I want to double check here. Yep, that's investing 101. I basically just described to you what investing is. And it's investing whether it is in local businesses or products or people, or it is on a national level. Mm-hmm. The only way to get things done, more times than not, is you got to spend.
Right. We have to have the social services available to allow people to live their lives without, I mean, because if you have to pay so much more money for, what, satellite internet? That doesn't always work.
And just as a side note, with all the cuts and changes and everything, when are things going to get better and cheaper? Yeah. When is that going to happen? Because otherwise, why are we doing this? Other than just talking points and people with power to feel more powerful. Right.
And take a real close look at fraud and abuse. Because it's not happening where they're telling you it's happening.
Well, it's now I learned this on the south side of Chicago when I was a little kid. This is three-card money. That's mm-hmm. what this is. Pay attention to this card. Pay attention to this card. Don't look at this one. Don't look at this one. Pay attention to this one. That's one of the oldest hustles in the world.
Yep. Bait and switch.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where things go from here with this and with these stats. And I'm really wondering, as far as the working from home thing, from what I'm seeing from the numbers, that is really evened out. Where as far as the percentages of people that were doing this during and after the pandemic, many of them have gone back to the workplace. Mm-hmm. And many businesses have realized, no, it's actually smarter to keep you there. It feels like we're figuring this out more.
Working from home than you would be if you had to add 2 hours of a commute to your day.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we love to do on this show is find different ways that we show that we are connected, that we have more in common than not, and relatability. And something that I do on the show here quite a bit is misspeak, so that other people will feel smarter and better about themselves.
That's why you do it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's why. That's it.
It's all planned.
So
it was in the script.
Apparently, yes. And I blame my teleprompter and my writers. I don't have teleprompter or writers. It's all in my head.
I stopped writing for you, James. You can't blame me anymore.
I believe earlier and maybe once before I have mentioned that we are going to have a taste test tomorrow. We are going to have a Girl Scout cookie taste test.
Mm-hmm.
Really important to get every word in there on that in that sentence
cookie.
There. Cookie
mm-hmm.
contest. Mm-hmm. Yes. We are going to be wrapping up the Girl Scout cookie season tomorrow morning around 9 o'clock. Melissa, Seth, and I, and Laura will come in for that one. And we're going to go ahead and try to sample some of these cookies. I have had like one Girl Scout cookie this season, so I cannot wait.
One?
It burned. I didn't realize it was almost over. I didn't get my cookies ordered in time. It's on me. It's completely my fault.
It's on you.
I got to save up for next year. I missed out on the French toast ones, too.
The toastiers?
Yeah. This is the last year for them. I missed out on them.
You'll get to taste one tomorrow.
I will. Be with us tomorrow at 9. That'll be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. The Girl mm-hmm. Scout cookie taste test. We will be back with more show coming up, the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James wrapping up the show for the day. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody. We'll get into our schedule and plenty more in a moment. But I don't want to wrap up with a good story of the day, and I've been saving this one. A young English schoolgirl has claimed victory over the large grocery store home chain Salisbury's after she noticed that all the girls' school outfits included pants with no pockets.
Good on her.
Arguing, quote, girls need to carry things too.
Yeah.
A letter and petition signed and delivered by her and her classmates last year resulted in a new line of pants with deeper pockets.
Awesome.
It started in 2024 when she went shopping at the retail giant with her mom and discovered that there were no trousers options for girls that had pockets deep enough to put anything in.
Yeah.
Some had pocket linings, but no actual pockets.
But they actual pockets. That's the worst thing, the fake pockets.
That's even worse than like
a cruel joke.
Yeah. She received a reply from corporate management apologizing for the lack of pockets and agreeing with her that the pant options should include them. The reply added that the feedback would be considered and that was the end of things. Georgia followed up her letter with a petition signed by 56 students at her school, including boys that wanted to help out too.
Nice.
The next year, returning to Salisbury's, she discovered gray trousers with pockets deep to the wrist.
Nice.
And little gray bows sewn into the front two belt loops. Georgia was delighted. When asked by the BBC, Sansbury didn't confirm whether the letter or the petition was the key factor in the change, but Georgia decided to take it as a victory. And yes. I agree with her.
As she should. Absolutely.
My only problem with this is, would it kill Sansbury's to agree or just give her the win, even if it wasn't?
Yeah,
you know,
why not?
Think of the good PR you get from something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the downside here?
And well, the downside is thinking that every letter is going to result in a response. But this was a big one.
Yeah.
And that girl had a very valid point.
Absolutely. And I know this is one that we have been championing here for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's great to see across the pond them getting this. Hopefully they get it around here and in the U.S.
Why can't we have pockets?
I mean, this is really like one of the more staggering things to me. And I think to a lot of guys, when you learn this, like the women haven't had pockets for like pretty much centuries. Like, you know, this is what happens also when you have men designing women's clothing. It's part of it. But I find that interesting. And if you don't think it's a big deal, guys, try to go an hour not using your pockets.
Sew your pockets shut your clothes and tell me how much you like it.
The only thing I don't like about summer is I don't have more pockets, and my phone goes in my shorts and my short pockets, and it just drags them down or something. I can't imagine. The only thing worse is not having them.
Or having a half size pocket.
Yeah.
Where the only thing that can fit in there is a hair tie or a chapstick tube.
Yeah, that's not right. You can find this complete article at goodnewsnetwork.org, goodnewsnetwork.org. There are good stories out there. Everybody, encourage you to hunt them down and share them with
us. This is a good story, and I'm sorry that I had to turn on my soapbox, but darn it, pockets, please.
Yeah, no. I was encouraging it.
Yeah, I know, but and I appreciate that. Now I'm sitting here thinking about all the clothes that I've been meaning to sew pockets into and haven't gotten around to, but why should I have to?
We are so quick to find guilt in ourselves. Many of us, at least. I know you and I are very similar in that. I want to send a big shout out to all of our calls today. We had a bunch of calls today. That was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, really do appreciate your feedback, everybody. Mm-hmm. We never get to spend enough time with you on the air, but we appreciate every second we get.
Yes.
And a big appreciation to Kelly and Jacob and Trevor for joining us and teaching us about the regional Math 24 competition.
Oh, that's so great.
That was a blast. Mm-hmm. We're going to be looking forward to tomorrow having our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with Phil Hartley.
Wicked awesome.
We even got some theme music Laura made for it. That's going to be
fun.
Thank
you, Laura.
That's going to be great.
Oh, she has such a great idea. I can't wait for you to hear it.
Looking forward to that tomorrow, everybody. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, we will have our Girl Scout cookie taste test going on as well.
Girl Scout cookies.
But for today, be sure to join us a little bit later today from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. In part one, Promise is going to be with us from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Awesome.
Get an update on all the things that they're up to over there. Mm-hmm. In part two, it is Realty Radio with David Farnborough.
Yay.
Got a lot of great stuff to talk about with David today. And as far as real estate goes, that'll be a great conversation.
What's going on in the housing market?
And right after that, of course, we'll have a best of show for you. Be sure to stick around for it. And on our sister station, our pregame kicks off at 4:20 on 105.5 WIRI for high school softball. Wausau East at Lincoln.
Hey.
Mike and Seth on the board for that one. You know it's going to sound good between those two.
Oh, yeah.
Be sure to check that out. We'll be talking about it on Playmakers on Wednesday. Some great local things going on in our area. And speaking of Playmakers, one of our sponsors for that, Family Natural Foods, have a great wellness presentation going on tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's the digestive health and cleansing, right?
Yeah. It'll be at 5 o'clock today over at their stomping grounds at 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Learn from Dr. Tracy of Vital Planet. She is awesome. She is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And she can make something that might seem uncomfortable very organic and just natural to talk about.
Who can talk about bloating better than her?
Yep, yep. She could put that on her business card. I mean, she's great. And really, one of those people that just makes you feel comfortable knowledgeable. So much.
Would be, happy to answer your questions.
And I think you'd be surprised about how much of, maybe an ailment or something that's bugging you is really something that you've just kind of like always lived with and could be helped through digestive health. Mm-hmm.
And digestive health really affects so many parts of your daily life.
They do a great job with these presentations. Their next one is tonight at 5, Digestive Health and Cleansing with Dr. Tracy from Vital Planet, 5 o'clock over at Family Natural Foods, 910 West Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. Our great friends over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center are holding their third annual spring studio sale.
Ooh.
The sale is back and better than ever. This year will be the year to check out all the items they've been accumulating and other artists have donated.
Oh, cool.
It's like an artist's dream garage sale is the way they're described. That's such a great way to put it. God, that's good. Nice job, Steph and the gang over there.
Yeah, that's great.
Doors
and what a great opportunity to get gifts that are unique that you can't find anywhere else.
This is the definition of buying local, supporting the local arts, along with getting things, as Melissa said, you aren't going to find anywhere else. Doors are opening in 5 minutes. They open at 10 o'clock this morning. The sale will last till 5 o'clock tomorrow and April 9th while supplies last. Shopping hours are 10 to 5, cash or check only, and encourage you to stop on by. You can find out more by going to culturalcenterarts.com, culturalcenterarts.com, and be sure to get on over there and check out all the great things that they have over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Doing some really good work over there.
Mm-hmm.
You can protect yourself from identity theft by bringing in your sensitive documents, old tax returns, bank statements, canceled checks, maybe scripts that you don't want anybody to see because you're so darn ashamed of them. Might just be me.
That was you, James.
Yeah. Shred Safe. Big shout out to them because this is in the United Way of Southwind and Ames Counties. And thanks to their sponsors, Bank Account Corp and Prevail Bank, because $1 will be donated to the United States Way of Southwind and Ames Counties for each pound of paper shredded. That's pretty cool.
Yes, on Shred Day, April 17th.
Yep, 9 to noon over at Prevail Bank. And you might want to get there a little bit early, everybody, if you can.
Early. They usually fill up before noon.
Yeah, that's a great one. Encourage you to check that out. Mm-hmm. We had in Tom from with our monthly veterans update yesterday, and we were talking about a couple of veteran activities and different things going on in their area. And one of them is going on tomorrow morning from 7:30 to 9:30.
Yeah, it's the Heroes Cafe.
Yeah, American Heroes Cafe. Check that out over Crossview Church, everybody. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. A big thank you to all the volunteers that make that event happen.
Mm-hmm. It's a great time, a great breakfast, and great camaraderie.
Yeah, spread the word about this event, everybody. In case any vets, military, police, or firefighters don't know about it, let's make sure they know and that they're welcome.
Yeah.
Again, American Heroes Cafe tomorrow, 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church.
Right next to Pick and Save.
And we love doing follow-up stories around here. Melissa, I wanted to make sure to mention that over our friends over at the Southwick County Historical Museum, the Laura Ingalls Wilder exhibit.
Yes, this traveling exhibit. I gotta add it to my calendar so I get over there before they're gone, because it's only for this month.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and check this out and get to know a little bit more about this well-known author, the Little House Books, based on her pioneer childhood in the late 19th century. So many cool things that you can learn, and local ties.
Yeah, because, she grew up in Pippin, and right here in Wisconsin, there's so much of that story that you're probably, I'm hoping, that I'll get to learn from this exhibit that aren't in the books.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, that's a great point, yeah. Mm-hmm. Check this out, and while you're at it, say hi to Phil and our friends over at the Southwick County Historical Museum that are keeping history alive over there and do such great work. We appreciate them. Looking at some world good stories, a group of frat guys at the University of Southern Mississippi reunited a woman with her lost dog 5 years after he went missing.
Whoa.
He's a tiny Yorkie named Kingston. He disappeared 300 miles away after Hurricane Laura in 2020. The president of the school's Kappa Sigma chapter says Kingston just showed up on their porch last week, so they got his microchip scanned and tracked down the owner. She never thought she'd see him again, so their reunion on Friday was pretty darn emotional.
Oh my goodness, 5 years?
That is pretty cool.
Wow.
How's this for crossing party lines? A Democratic politician in Idaho named Brooke Green is fighting breast cancer, so a group of GOP lawmakers shaved their heads in solidarity.
That's awesome.
She said she never expected such a touching show of support.
Wow.
It's a cool story, and not only humanizes our politicians a little more, which I think we all need to be better at.
People.
But also they are humanizing each other, which is really nice, and treating each other like adults and human beings.
Yes, and caring about each other. That's awesome.
Real politicians, that's how they handle things.
Yeah.
That is a really cool story.
They support each other.
Mm-hmm. And a guy in D.C. was going through a rough stretch when he had a dream that he'd become a millionaire, so he went out and bought a lottery ticket, and he became a millionaire.
Can I have that dream?
I mean, yeah. What, my dreams are so boring. I want that dream. That sounds like a pretty cool dream. That's awesome.
I mean, I made potato soup in my dream last night. But I have no potato soup this morning. So
it's so frustrating when you have these wild imaginations, but our dreams are like black and white. They're just boring.
I cleaned the bathroom last night in my dreams. It was disgusting.
Great show, Melissa. Have a good day.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.